Okay, so we're discussing the obligation of Bedikas Chametz. The Gemara says over here, four lines down, six lines down, I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. HaMefarsh Vayotze B'Sheyara Kodem Shloshim Yom Ein Zakuk Levoyer. Person who leaves his house 30 days prior to Yontif doesn't have to do Bedika. Of course, he can't own the Chametz once Pesach comes, that goes without saying. But he doesn't have to do bedikas chametz before he leaves. Toshloshim yom, if he leaves within 30 days, zakuk levor, then he has to do bedikas chametz. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about the details of a person who leaves his home prior to the night of bedikas chametz. It's a number of details halacha lemaisa what to do, but perhaps we'll get into that tomorrow. So toshloshim yom zakuk levor. Amar Abaye, hada amar to toshloshim yom zakuk levor. That which he said 30 days prior to yontif, if he he leaves. He is obligated to do bedikas chametz. Lo amar now shadayta lasar. If he's within 30 days that he has to do bedikas chametz, the only time that is the case is when he has intention to return. If he doesn't intend to return, he doesn't have to do bedikas chametz, even though he left within 30 days of the coming of yontif. Amalei rava v'idayta lasar. What is that? That makes no sense. You want to distinguish between dayta lasar and dayta lasar. It doesn't make any sense. Even if he has intention to be back prior to Pesach, or on Pesach, that's one of the details we have to discuss. If he plans to come back anyway, around Pesach time, even if he left on Rosh Hashanah, he has to do Bedikas Chametz when he returns. So if he died to last, if he was Rosh Hashanah Nami, of course he has to do Bedikas Chametz. No, just the opposite. A person who leaves 30 days prior to Pesach, if he has intention to return, he has to do Bedikas Chametz. If he doesn't have intention to return around Pesach, then he doesn't have to do bedikas chametz. No, just the other way. When we said if you leave 30 days prior to Pesach, you don't have to do bedikas chametz, that lo amano shein dayta lachzor. That's only if you don't plan to return about dayta lachzor, but if he plans to return, I feel Rosh Hashanah zakuk levar. For us, the rav of the time, even if he has, left on Rosh Hashanah, he has to do bedikas chametz when he returns or before he leaves. For us, the rav of the time, the rav follows his reasoning, the rav oisa besa oitzer kodem shloshim yom. Person who turns his house into a storehouse, which means he doesn't plan on being there, and he's zakuk levar. He doesn't have to be bedikas chametz because he doesn't plan on being there. If it's within 30 days, zakuk levar, then he's obligated to be bedikas chametz because once the obligation of bedikas chametz sets in, you can't shake it off. You can't get out of it just by leaving. So this obligation of bedikas chametz, this is what the Gemara is really telling us, just to phrase it a little bit more conceptually, that the chiyuv of bedikas chametz is chal begins 30 days prior to Pesach. So if you're there when it is triggered, you can't get out of it just because you plan to leave for Pesach. If you're not there when it's triggered, I'm already out of town. So if you plan on returning, so then you have to do it when you return. If you're not planning on returning, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do bedikas chametz. Of course, you can't own it, right? That goes without saying. You have to do bito chametz, and you'll avoid bali rav bali matzah in that way. But we said bito, is midoraisa, bito bal masagi, but midorabban, they require you to bedikas chametz, lest you stumble across it over Pesach and be tempted to eat it or renege on your bito. So because of all that, you have to do bedikas chametz. But that's only triggered 30 days before Pesach, and it's only for people who plan to be here. So if you don't plan to be here, then not. So lo marnel shein died to lift nice about died to lift nice if you call them shoshiyom nami zakuk levar so hanish oh so he asked the Gemara three lines from the bottom so the Rava said the same thing with regards to Beis Ha'Oitzer. If you turn your house into a Beis Ha'Oitzer, if it was 130 days prior to Pesach, you don't plan on living there. It's now a storehouse. You don't have to do bedikas chametz. If you did it after 30 days prior to Pesach, it's already arrived. Then you would the bedikas chametz is already triggered and you can't get out of it just because you turned your house into a Beis Ha'Oitzer, or just because a person left town. But now the Gemara asks, how do we know, or why should it be, that the obligation of bedikas chametz is triggered 30 days prior to Pesach? So, hani shloshim yom, maya v'detayhu, what's the shaykha? So, in what way is it relevant? Or what is the significance? It could analyze the question in a bunch of different angles. K'desanya shaylim v'darshim yuchas ha-Pesach chaylim ha-Pesach shloshim yom. Because we have a general halacha that a person is supposed to ask and respond, or ask and investigate or analyze the halachos of Pesach 30 days prior to Pesach. Shimon Gamliel says shtei shavosos. So if Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakhama, it's not 30 days, it's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks prior to Pesach. My time at the Tanakhama, what's the reason for the Tanakhama who said 30 days? Shrei Moshe Oimi Pesach Rishon Omaz here al Pesach Sheni. When did Moshe Rabbeinu command the Jewish people about Pesach Sheni in Parashat Vayeshlach? Was on the day of Pesach Rishon, right? They came on Pesach Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, "If you're tamei lenefesh, you can't participate in Pesach Rishon." They said, the whole group of those who were tummy said, Lama Nigar, why should we lose out? And Moshe Rabbeinu revealed to them, okay, you'll have a second chance on Pesach Sheni, which itself is perplexing. We've discussed on other occasions. Just because a person is left out, why should he automatically get another yontif? And what kind of even complaint is this? You know, Lama Nigar, why should I lose out? You're disqualified. Every person who's disqualified can't come and complain. You know, Lama Nigar, it's not fair. This isn't the first grade. So why over here they life isn't fair? So why over here are they complaining that it's not fair? And why do they get rewarded with a second yontif? All important questions. But that's the, you know, what my say is, this is what happened. They complained on the day of the Pesach Rishon, and Shabbat unveiled to them Pesach Sheni. So he did it for them a month in advance, 30 days in advance. Pesach Sheni, of course, right, is the 14th of Iyar. So it's a month after the 14th of Nisan, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to them for, you know, 30 days in advance. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu to complain, and they were received Pesach Sheni. So he gave it to them 30 days in advance. When Moshe Rabbeinu told them about the Yontif Pesach, he did so 14 days in advance, or 2 weeks in advance of the Korban Pesach. Because when the Moshe Rabbeinu teach them about the halachos of Korban Pesach, was 14 days, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, prior, you know, 14 days prior to the arrival of Pesach. My time with Rav Shimon Gamliel, Sharei, Moshe Rabbeinu Rosh Chodesh, Umazir Ala Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he instructed them about the Korban Pesach, Shneimar Chodesh Hazelachem. Oh, Rav Shimon Gamliel, I read the line, you know, I just didn't explain the line. Rav Shimon Gamliel argued with the Tanakhama. He says, no, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned Pesach Sheni 30 days prior, you know, when he commanded them at Pesach Rishon, or when they were performing Pesach Rishon? Because once they're icing in Pesach Rishon, it's okay, he told them about Pesach Sheni. He didn't mean to imply that you need 30 days to prepare for Pesach Sheni. Just I did the my bepiska. I did the I bemilu the piska. Maskul luchomilu the piska. Since they were Isaac and cover Pesach, he told them, you know, here's the yontif Pesach Sheni. But now that you need 30 days to prepare for Pesach Sheni, so where does Rav Shimon Gamliel get his shita from? From the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he instructed him about the carbon Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu Rosh Chodesh Umasir Al Pesach Shneim Al Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodeshim. Today, right, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Viksiv Dabru Al Koladas. Yisrael, on the 10th of the month, you should separate an animal designated as a carbon Pesach, and it should be brought on the 14th of the month. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on the, you know, on Rosh Chodesh, and when he told him this, Dilma Barba biyarcha bechamisha biyarcha. How do you know it was on the, you know, maybe it was the fourth, maybe it was the fifth guy. Rather, it's from a different pasuk. Parshas Baloyska, Moshe Rabbeinu told him about it on the second year, on the first of the month. And the next pasuk says Moshe that they performed the Korban Pesach. So again, how do you know Hakanami Mimad Bereish Yarchakai Duma Bar Babi Yarchak Bechamisha Yarchakai? And the Gemara leaves off with the Gemara responds. I'm Rav Nachman. By Yitzchak Asi Midbar Midbar, Ksiv Hachu Bemidbar Sinai, Ksiv Hasam Vayda Bashem Omeishu Bemidbar Sinai, Beomei Beechol Chaydesh Hasheni Malahom Barish Chaydesh Avkam Barish Chaydesh. Okay, so the Gemara derives from Gzeres Shavah that we're talking about in Rosh Chaydesh. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them about Korban Pesach, and that was 14 days before the bringing of the Korban Pesach. Okay, so they had 14 days to prepare. So it emerges is a machlekes between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel. How much time do you need to prepare for Pesach? The opinion of the Tanakam is you need 30 days. What's the paradigm for that, or what's the precedent for that? Was Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Kaisa about Pesach Sheni on the day of Pesach Rishon, 30 days before Pesach Sheni? Shimon Gamliel says, nah, you're just being Isaac B'Milo the Pesach, so he told them everything about Pesach. Shimon Gamliel derives it from the fact, says it's only 14 days, and he derives that from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Klal Yisrael about the midst of Korban Pesach on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 14 days prior to the bringing of the Korban Pesach, and the Gemara derives from Sukkim that we know that he was talking to them on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, so the Gemara says that, you know, that's the time period that a person has to prepare for the Yontif of Pesach. It's interesting, though, that even though this is the language of, you know, the Gemara that we have here, the Gemara Masechtas Megillah seems to say something different. And the Rishon HaMeister says Akasha. The Gemara says Masechtas Megillah V'yachever. Look at the first line of the sheet. Tana Rabbana, Moshe Tikkun Lahem Yisrael Shu Shogun V'darshim V'nyan Shal Yom. Every Yontif we lay in a Kriyas HaTorah that has to do with the topic of that day. So Hilchos Pesach with Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres with Atzeres, and Hilchos Chag b'Chag. On Pesach, we learn that Yikris Atar has to do with Pesach. On Shavuos about Shavuos, on Sukkos about Sukkos. So what's the problem? We're trying to ask, 1 minute. Over here it says you only have to be Yisik in Hilchos Pesach on Pesach, Hilchos Chag b'Chag. Here in Agamor it says you have to do it 30 days before, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, 14 days before, and we saw the derivations where they got it from. But it's certainly not just on Yantav itself. Here it's 30 days before, 14 days before. What's going on? So the Beis Yosef had a quote over here, three Teirutzim from the Rishonim. The Ran, an Aradaf, says, is the first answer that's quoted over here by the Beis Yosef. He says, V'yishloimar, Dehod desan yishoyom v'darshin kodem ha-Pesach shloishim yon. That which we said in our Gemara, 30 days prior to Pesach, you have to start being shoyom v'darsh v'ilchus ha-Pesach. Lav l'meimar dan v'chayovim lishov v'lidros v'ilchus Pesach. Doesn't mean what it says, that you actually have to arrange shiurim on Hilchos Pesach. And mishum the kaimalam ba'alma is rather going on a toisef to mesech the Sanhedrin, then normally, a Talmud can ask the Rebbe the Shaila and whatever he wants. Everything is always open. But some person who asks Minyana de Yoima goes before a person who's asking on something that's not Minyana de Yoima. I mentioned the other day, people always ask shilas coming up to a yontif, has nothing to do with the yontif. All of a sudden everyone's asking tzitzis shilas, tefilas, chala shilas, but nothing to do with the yontif that's coming up. So it's fine, you can call it the tefilas kelim and hagolas kelim shilas, these are all fine. But let's say someone calls with a Hilchos Chanukah shaila, well then you should deal with Hilchos Chanukah first rather than dealing with the shilas that are not, things that are not being dealt with right now. So if a person has two Talmidim, come to ask a Shaila, v'shnei Talmidim sh'shalom, echad shal ke'inyan, v'echad shal kolo ke'inyan. One is asking on something we're discussing now, one is asking on something we're not discussing now, and it's kakun v'shal ke'inyan. So you respond to the person who's asking ke'inyan, about that which is relevant. Someone called me last night, I promise you, 12 o'clock at night, to ask me an Erevin Shaila. I said, it's Sunday night. Whatever. How could this be relevant now? Like, it's fine. You could call me at 12 o'clock at night. I'm happy to pick up the phone. It's just like, I don't know why it became an emergency at midnight on Sunday, right? And it's, okay. If it would have been Thursday night, I understand. It's, okay, whatever it is. Lomai says, you don't have to answer those shilas right away. You can push those shilas off. The shilas are minyana de yoyma. That goes first. Well, when is it called minyana de yoyma? When is it minyana de yoyma of Hanukkah? Is it now? Is it right after Sukkot? So no, the answer is 30 days before. That's when it becomes Minyan Shoyon. That's already asking something that's relevant. And that's what the Ran says here. Okay, so one explanation is that one resolution is Agamar is talking about when is it considered to be Shoyon Keinin. The Gemara Masechet Megillah is talking about when you actually act actively. Be involved in learning the halachas of the yontif. That's only on the yontif itself. There's a mitzvah to learn that mesecta on that yontif. We also can those halachas on that yontif, but not prior to the yontif. Okay, that's the Ran. Then he quotes a different answer. Maybe our Gemara is only talking about Pesach. Pesach. You know how many halachas there are in Pesach? We have a whole mesecta psachim. We're learning a whole year. We're probably not even then going to get through enough to really be masters of Hilchos Pesach. For Odi Yishlam, the Dini Pesach al Kopanim Tzarech Leidiyim Va'am Koyim Pesach Shloishim Yom Kidei Shiyeh Lahem Shus Rav L'Sasi B'tchina Sachidim Afiyas HaMatzah V'Golos Kevim V'Biyo Chometz. All the halachas that go into Pesach, preparing the kitchen, baking the matzahs, everything takes time. So the Eid of a Pesach Les Lut HaKant. If you're going to wait till Pesach, you won't have time. Unless you're going to prepare beforehand, and therefore you have to prepare beforehand. Which is not the case by other moyadim, but it's like a dinim, yoizim shayantif. On Shavuos, there isn't much, other than cheesecake and stuff we're used to from other yomim toivim. With sukkahs, afagabdi, ika mitzvah, sukkah, lulav, ain't tarch lilmor behem kokach dinim. You don't need to know so much to build a sukkah and to take davaminim. I don't know if that's true, but okay. Right? It's true, actually. You can have a handyman build a sukkah. Many people have their super build a sukkah. You can have a contractor build a sukkah. Sukkah's ganbach and rakbash is all kosher. So you can have anyone build a sukkah. You don't necessarily have to be a great Talmud Chacham. You have to know something, but okay, all right. Not as much as Hilchos Pesach, so maybe you don't need the same 30 days before. So maybe, says the second answer of the Beis Yosef, if we could distinguish between our Gemara is talking Dafka Pesach. The Pesach needs 30 days. The Gemara Shoshana is talking about every other Yontif. You can wait till the Yontif itself. Ah, it includes Pesach there too. It's a mitzvah on Yontif to learn the halachas of Pesach, you know, even through the Yontif, not just before. But Pesach also, you have to even start 30 days before. All right, a second answer. Then he quotes a third answer, Vayidei Shloimar, that maybe this is just talking about the carbon Pesach. The carbon Pesach, you need a time to arrange who's going to be part of what team. We had to make teams because the carbon Pesach cannot be eaten every person by themselves because you can't leave over any part of the carbon Pesach to be eaten. So we eat the carbon Pesach in teams, known as chaburas. So it takes time to arrange a chabura and where we're going to be and who's going to get this one and who's going to be that one. So it takes time to arrange all that. We need 30 days before. That's not necessarily the case by the other Yomim Tovim. So maybe Pesach is different either because of the carbon Pesach, and even though we don't have a carbon Pesach anymore, the Beis Yosef says once it was established, you know, once they established this takana, lo yizazam imakayma, we kept this takana. So either it's because Pesach has so many more halachas than other Yom Tovim, or it's perhaps because Pesach has the carbon Pesach, which takes time to arrange and who's going to be on what team and part of what chabura, as opposed to the other Yom Tovim. Okay, so one answer to the Beis Yosef is you don't have to learn the halachas of the Yom Tov 30 days before. It's only on the Yom Tov itself. Just you're now considered to be shayel ke'inyan. The other answers in the Beis Yosef are no, you really have to learn the halachas 30 days before, either because of carbon Pesach, or maybe Pesach is different because of carbon Pesach, or because of the extensive halachas of Hilchas Pesach. The Bir Halacha over there, Simen Tov Chof Tes, claims that perhaps these two answers depend on really two Girsos in our Gemara. See, we have the Girsa, Shalim V'darshin, Behilchas Pesach, Kodem Pesach. They would ask and respond. That sounds like you're giving a shiur about it. If you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, then you know you really have to learn the Hilchos HaPesach 30 days before. You look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Shailim Behilchos HaPesach Kaidim LePesach Shloshim Yom. All it discusses is asking questions. Look up at the second source on the sheet. It has a different nusach than our Gemara. Our Gemara, Shailim V'darshin. They would ask and respond. Here it says just Shailim. So that seems to focus on Shail Ke'inyin. That's like the Ran. You're not considered to be asking something that's relevant. And our Gemara seems to imply you actually have to actively learn these halachas. That's Shalom Midarshim. That's like the other Rishonim. So this is the Bir Halacha already. It's not a Rosh Hashiva somewhere. This is the Bir Halacha claims that these two answers in the Rishonim are really represented by these two Girsos in the Gemara. Is it Shalom Behilchas HaPesach? You know, just you're considered to be asking Shalom Ke'inyan, or is it Shalom Midarshim that you actually have to learn these halachas? Why do you have to learn the halachas 30 days before? Well, halachas of Pesach are extensive, right? Okay, so you have to, it takes 30 days to master it, or even just to be familiar with it, right? And the truth of the matter is we derive from here a precedent that whenever one is dealing with a new mitzvah, we typically like to initiate ourselves into that process 30 days before. The other Yom Tovim, the assumption was, didn't necessarily take 30 days before. You know, that's what the Gemara says in Megillah. You could just learn the halachas on that particular Yom Tov. But that's because we remember many of Hilchas, Dawamin from last year. We remember Hilchas Tekiah Shofar from last year. We remember Hilchas Yom Tov from last year. Hilchas Pesach is so much that every year it's like starting over. But the truth of the matter is, whenever one encounters a new mitzvah, we have a minig of taking 30 days before, in order to prepare ourselves for the mitzvah, which is really the basis for the practice of bar mitzvah boys starting to wear tefillin 30 days before they start, become obligated in tefillin. It says over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Lamed Zayin Siv Gimel, in Hilchos Tefillin, Katan Yodea Lishmar Tefillin B'Tahar Shel Yishim V'Shel Yafiach Behem. His father is obligated to buy him tefillin. When does a katan become chayv to wear tefillin? Once he is Yodea Lishmar Tefilov. He knows how to take care of the tefillin. What does it mean? Not how to wind the straps and the boxes. What it means is he knows how to wear tefillin with a gufnaki. You know, that he has proper machshavas, yes, of course, but also that he should, make sure not to be mefiach in the tefillin. Pass gas, if you do that, it's a violation of the kedushas tefillin, and it's hard to keep machshavas. You always have to be thinking about the tefillin now to be mefiach. That's from the tefillin. It's a pretty involved mitzvah tefillin. So that's why the child has to be prepared for that. Now, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says our practice is not to let any ketanim wear tefillin. The truth of the matter is we don't even wear tefillin beyond the minimal amount of time to wear tefillin, and we don't allow people really to volunteer to put on. Yes, we know there are certain kedoshim, the great tzaddikim who volunteer to wear tefillin in Bitsina, but otherwise, as a communal, policy, we really minimize our involvement with tefillin, even though there's really a mitzvah to wear tefillin all day. We don't do that because we're afraid that we won't be able to keep a gufnaki. That's why women do not volunteer to put on tefillin. Because anyone who doesn't obligate, who's not obligated to wear tefillin, really should not be volunteering to put on tefillin, because we're afraid that will be a violation of the Kedushas tefillin. And that's why the Rama says even a child, you know, who normally would we would train him in mitzvahs prior to the arrival of the time of his bar mitzvah, we don't really train the child, you know, from the time that he's a gil chinuch in tefillin, because we want to minimize the time that he wears tefillin. I think Sfaradim, Benji will correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Sfaradim start wearing tefillin at 9 or 10 either. There are certain groups that do it a year before, but I think that, I haven't seen that ever. So Rama says, you only wait till you're actually bar mitzvah to start wearing tefillin, not earlier. You should not change. Do not volunteer to put on tefillin if you are not obligated. This was a big issue a few years back about people wanting to volunteer to put on tefillin. And they were discouraged from doing so because it's a potential violation of the Kedushas tefillin. However, the Mishnah Berurah does quote from the earlier Achrenim that we have a minig that 2 or 3 months prior to the bar mitzvah, the child begins to put on tefillin. I don't know anyone who does 2 to 3 months. The Aruch HaShulchan says the minig in Litta was 30 days. 30 days. It's interesting, it doesn't appear in the Mishnah Berurah, it's in the Aruch HaShulchan, that the minig was 30 days. Some Sfaradim, I guess, could really put it on earlier, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to be concerned with this as much, but this is the opinion of the Rama for all Ashkenazim, and the Rama says, V'eim Hashanois. In the Chsidish Sfarim, they say based on the Ari HaKadosh and based on Sifrei Kabbalah, that not to put on tefillin before the bar mitzvah itself. They don't do this 30 days before. So typically those who daven Nusach Sfar, this is how it shakes out. If you daven Nusach Sfar, you probably did not put on tefillin. Anyone here not put on tefillin 30 days before? Yeah? No. Everyone put on tefillin 30 days before? Benji, from when you were 7, when did you start putting on tefillin? No?
I did it a month before because I was in like an Ashkenaz school. I got the top put it on like 2 months before.
You assimilated. Okay. But, but Sfarim do, some do way earlier, but typically many people do 30 days before. Chassidim lo Sfar, not at all. It actually makes things a little bit more complicated, because the parts we discussed, why doesn't a bar mitzvah boy make a shechiyanu on his tefillin? So for those who put on tefillin 30 days before, it's actually, there's a good reason why not. The Achronim say, because you're already putting it on 30 days before, well, you're not going to make a shechiyanu because you're not really chayiv then, so you're not going to make a shechiyanu. And when the actual midtime for the mitzvah arrives, when you're actually chayiv, it's nothing new anymore, because you've been putting it on for 30 days, so there's no shechiyanu. For those who only follow at Nusach Sfar, they only put on tefillin on the bar mitzvah day itself. They follow the Ari HaKadosh, Sifrei Kabbalah, not to do it 30 days before. So it raises a problem. Whether maybe they should make a shech, not a problem. You know, should they be making a shechiyanu? We pasuk, and there is no shechiyanu. Shechiyanu is only a mitzvah that are bar mizman lezman, that are, you know, come from time to time. Not a mitzvah that's going to be now every day. So since it's not like an occasional mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that is a daily mitzvah, just he's beginning now, there isn't a shechiyanu associated with that kind of mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah bo mizman lezman. Okay, so Rabbi said, we said 30 days before we prepare for Pesach. Does that extend to other Yomim Tovim? Maybe not. It's probably local to Hilchos Pesach. They need 30 days before. Many have the minhag to do it by other Yomim Tovim too. 30 days before Rosh Hashanah to begin learning Hilchos Tekiyas Shofar and all these things. Maybe that's what Chodesh Elul is all about, but that's not really, we typically do not apply this rule of 30 days before. It seems to be somewhat local to Pesach, but maybe by extension it applies to the other Yom Tovim as well. We should take 30 days, to prepare for it takes 30 days to prepare for a mitzvah. Maybe that's the precedent that we have of putting on tefillin 30 days prior to the day of the bar mitzvah. So the Gemara, though, from here extrapolates, well, then that's the day that the Chiyuv Bedikas Chametz begins to. Why? Just right, we got this halacha 30 days before, we know about this. But why should that be relevant as a precedent at all, related to the obligation of Bedikas Chametz that begins 30 days prior to Pesach? That if a person leaves before then he avoided the obligation, if he's not going to return Pesach time, if he didn't leave before then, he got stuck, lahavdil. We never stuck in a mitzvah, but he gets stuck with the obligation of doing Bedikas Chametz, and he can't avoid it, even though he's going to leave before Pesach, the chiyuv has already been triggered. Why? Just because you have to learn the halachos of Pesach 30 days before Pesach, does that inevitably imply that the obligation to do Bedikas Chametz begins 30 days prior to Pesach? So this is a kasha that the Taz asks in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha shloshim yom kodem achag. Person is supposed to begin learning, the halachos of Pesach. He says, "Betur kasev hilkach The Torah adds the word therefore. Hilchach. Lamid yon kaidim pesach chalav choyves habir. V'hu gemar, parakama, dav vav akasha. My shaykhus yesh mizeh lozeh de tala zeh bezeh. What does the chiyuv of biur or bedikas chametz have to do with the fact that we begin learning halachas of Pesach 30 days prior to Pesach? It takes 30 days to learn halachas. What does it have to do with bedikas chametz at the time of biur chametz? This is a kasha. The Tanzis, has his own answer. However, in the back of the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, that's or Tzi Pesach Frank's Sfarim on the Moyadim, he quotes there an answer from the Baal Torah Chesed, who said the following. Torah Chesed was a well-known tshuva sefer. You guys probably never heard of it, but it was nowadays its popularity has dwindled a little bit. But it was one of the, you know, one of the classic tshuva sefarim. He has some very, very important tshuvas in the previous generation. Mid 1800s. So he quotes the rabbi Goyim Lublin, Baal Torah Chesed, Amar Bezel Yashu Kushis Hataz. He says here, Yisoid. I'm going to tell you Yisoid. And that is that a person is under no obligation to prepare, you know, to avoid a situation of an oinus from performing a mitzvah. The Leki Isar, Al Ha'echot, Shaloy Yasa, Dabash, Machman, Zay Yachak, Oinus, Yamukhak, Lava, Mitzvah, Say, Aloy, Say. A person is not obligated to avoid a situation of oinus. So therefore, let's say a person can leave prior to Pesach, as long as he leaves more than 30 days prior to Pesach, and avoid Bedikas Chametz, because when Pesach comes, he's nowhere near his house to do Bedikas Chametz. What do you want from me? I'm in Paris. I'm somewhere else. How can I do Bedikas Chametz? I'm on the moon. How can I do Bedikas Chametz back in New York? I'm not there. And I'm not obligated to avoid it. But is there a point in time when we say, you know, you can't claim Oynes because you didn't prepare at all? Right? Let's say we had this year. We discovered Rabbi Shechter printed a tshuva about this in Piskei Corona. In Manhattan, sitting in a sukkah this year was a big nisayon. Because in Manhattan, if you're zeichet to have a terrace or a backyard, which some apartments do, or if you live in an attached house, you know, they have that. Then you have your own sukkah. But otherwise, it's really kind of rare to have your own place to build a sukkah. So either your building will have a sukkah or your shul will have a sukkah. Many, many, many people eat in the shul sukkah. They have catered meals. And it's a big fundraiser for the shul and a social event for the shul. Many shuls, all the big shuls in Manhattan, build big communal sukkahs and everyone eats in the sukkah. Now this year they created a big problem because of social distancing. So you're going to have shifts. Oh my gosh, you're going to wait till 11:30 till it's my shift and I have to wait for this guy to finish his Zatav HaChatonu before I get to sit down for my soup. It's going to get tricky. So can we say everyone who doesn't get a first shift in the sukkah with social distancing is Bechlau Anoynes and is Potter from sukkah? It was a good shayla. So the shayla was passed around to Rav Asher Weiss, and we asked it in Manhattan. So Rav Shechter felt that a person has to make preparations to avoid a situation of oinus. Obviously, if a person is there and there's no other, you're not obligated to wait till late in the day to eat in the sukkah. If I don't have a sukkah available to me right now, then you're putter from sukkah. How do you know? That's like teishu kein taduru, right? Let's say it's raining now, says the Mishnah Berurah. It's raining, other than the first night of Sukkot, if it's raining now, I'm putter from the Sukkot, and I don't have to wait till 12 o'clock to eat, right? I don't have to say, well, it's raining now, 7 o'clock, when I want to eat supper, well, it's going to stop raining at midnight, wait till midnight to eat your supper. You're not obligated to do that. First night of Sukkot, we all know you have to eat in the Sukkot, maybe even in the rain, certainly to wait. And the rest of the nights of Sukkot, if it's raining now, you're putter. It's not teishu kein tadu. Teishu kein tadu means I should sit in the Sukkot like I sit in my house. I eat in my house. I don't have to wait till 12 o'clock. So if there's no sukkah available now, you're an inus. I don't have to wait till 12 o'clock. All right, so everyone can say, if I'm not in the first shift in the sukkah, I'm an inus. I'm potter. So Rav Asher Weiss did say that. He didn't believe, when I spoke to him about it, he didn't believe that there were religious Jews who eat in shul sukkahs. He said, who doesn't have their own sukkah? He said, Yerushalayim, everyone has their own sukkah. I said, Rebbe, I'm telling you, it's true. There's no room to a sukkah in Manhattan. He's been in Manhattan for Shabbos. I don't know why he found it so hard to believe. But they're from, it's true, some of them are not as religious committed as we would like. But many people who are hardcore religious people will eat in the shul sukkah. There simply is no other sukkah. So he felt, okay, so you're an Oynes. Rebbe Shechter, though, wrote in his Piskei Corona that you have to do what you can at least to prepare before. How much before do you have to prepare to avoid an Oynes? So that's what the Torah discussed. It said you have to prepare 30 days before to avoid an oinus. How do you know you have to prepare 30 days before to avoid an oinus? Because the Gemara says over here, you have to start learning the halachas of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. You can't arrive at Pesach and say, I have no matzah, I'm an oinus. You can't arrive at Sukkot and say, I have no dalaminim. Sukkot is today. Well, I don't have any, so I'm an oinus. You can't do that. You have to go out and buy matzah before. You have to go out and buy a dalaminim before. You have to go out and build a sukkah before. You can't sit, wait around and say, well, here comes sukkah. So look at that. I'm an oinus, though. Oinus from a patre. You have to prepare a little bit in advance. How far in advance do I have to prepare? And how far in advance do we say no? You know, at that point, I'm already, you know, already it's an oinus. Where do we draw the line between preparation and oinus? So that's where the Teres Chesed says, that's at 30 days. How do you know that? Because the Gemara said, a person has to begin learning the Lachos of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. So you see, you have to start preparing 30 days prior to Pesach. So says the Teres Chesed, now I understand why the Chiyu B'dikas Chum, it's Yitzchal 30 days before. Because that's the time that I have to start preparing for Pesach. I can no longer say I'm an oinus. But if you're out of the country 30 days before, okay, so that's a literal oinus, oinus rachmana patre, and that's beyond the obligation to prepare. How do you know when the obligation to prepare, how do you know when the line is drawn between oinus and between preparation? That's, from the fact that you have to start learning that locus 30 days before. We'll just read inside, he says over here, my timer, on the third line, muntul adam lotzitz adarim, kredim amirim, how are you going to leave 30 days before Pesach, afkish yagi yimei Pesach, or yabi chotel, var chem, so you're going to avoid bedikas chametz. Within 30 days, they applied to an obligation. How do we know when you have to do the bechiyu b'dikas chametz, or when, if you eat too early, already now it's an oinus and you're not obligated to return to do it? So they learned this out from when you have to start learning the halachas of Pesach, because that's how much you have to prepare in advance to avoid an oinus. The chazin and the kaidim of Pesach Ramidyon kava hakas of chayva lilmud hilchas Pesach mechashash yegiv yimei achag. You already have to start preparing now to avoid an oinus. So you shouldn't come to an oinus. In the footnotes there of the Mikroi Kodesh, have you hear the distinction? In the footnotes of the Mikroi Kodesh, he says, just gives another example of this, which is a well-known stiron balamors. It's an important stiron. The Mishnah says Masech L'Shabbos of here ois vav. They used to wash the baby in hot water prior to a bris milah as an antiseptic. It already says in the Shulchan Aruch, we don't do this anymore. Which is like a nishtanu atvoim, nishtanu arefuos. So already in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a modern thing. Already in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, we don't do this anymore, we have better antiseptics. But in the time of the Mishnah, they used to wash the baby in hot water prior to the bris milah, and they used to wash the baby in hot water after the bris milah. What if the water spills for after the bris milah? Well, if you already did the bris, it's a sakonis nefashis. You're not going to apply antiseptic. So it'll be a sakonis nefashis who'll get an infection. So of course you can heat up the water on Shabbos, pikuach nefesh, life-saving activities on Doicha Shabbos. What if the water spills for after the bris milah, but it's still before the bris milah? So I have water for before the bris milah, I don't have water for afterwards because it spilled. Can I do the bris milah knowing I'm going to put myself into such a situation? Knowing that I'm going to have to heat up water after the bris milah, in order to take care of a pikuach nefesh, or should I avoid the situation and not do the bris milah and push the bris milah off till tomorrow because I don't have water for afterwards, and now I have to enter into the situation of pikuach nefesh deliberately, knowingly on Shabbos? So the Ramban on that Gemara says an important line, the last words on the line of Oizvav, Ein le mitzvah el shaita. Rabbi says, it's a big mussar. You worry about the mitzvah that's in front of you now, the consequences we'll deal with later. Right now, I have a mitzvah, you do the mitzvah. All the other cheshbonos, we'll make cheshbonos and other calculations later on. Mitzvah, ain't the mitzvah, b'shaita, do it now. Okay, now, afterwards, you're going to have a pikuach nefesh, you have to heat up water afterwards for pikuach nefesh. The Baal HaMor says no. Baal HaMor says that on that Gemara, that you should not do it. He says, how can you do it? You're putting yourself in a situation of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos deliberately. You shouldn't do it. Don't do it. Okay. Fine, we got it. Okay. Fair machlokes. The problem is, the Baal HaMor seems to contradict himself. Because Gemara says over here, Masech L'Shabbos, Yitesem et Aleph. You're not supposed to go on a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you can go on a boat trip. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're not supposed to go on a boat trip where you will be on the boat on Shabbos. Of course, you could go on a boat trip. You take the cruise line, Chevron, on Thursday. But you shouldn't be on the boat on Thursday, you know, take a boat trip where I'll be like Gilligan. You're going to be there over Shabbos if the Chevra even knows what Gilligan is, right? So you shouldn't be there. No one even knows what Gilligan is. Chevra, how many know? You never heard of Gilligan? A 3-hour tour? Avram, you never heard of Gilligan? Everybody saw
him. Heard the name, no idea what it means.
Okay. So you're going to take a boat trip that's going to be over Shabbos. So then you're not supposed to leave on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you leave on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's fine. There's people take cruises and all these things. You're not supposed to leave Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why not? Why not? So the Baal HaMor says in that Gemara, there's 4 or 5 explanations that Gemara, the Baal HaMor says, because boat travel in those days was dangerous. And inevitably, or likely, not inevitably, but it was likely, you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos or Bikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara says you shouldn't put yourself in that situation deliberately. That's why Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says if a person needs an elective surgery, so as we know from last week's parsha, the third day after the surgery is the hardest, so you shouldn't, from Avram Avinu, when he was a Kayev Machmas Hamil on the third day, so you're not supposed to have an elective surgery on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday if it's possible to avoid it. If you can reschedule for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, better. If it's entirely elective, you should really be a little bit more adamant. If it's just a surgery, you're going to have it at some point, but time is not of the essence. Try and avoid Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If not, you'll do it. A lot of doctors don't do surgery in the middle of the week and early in the week. They only do later in the week. Okay, it's fine. So you're stuck. But otherwise, if all things being equal, you should not have surgery then, because you're going to put yourself in a situation. You might have to be Mechal Shabbos Bikuach Nefesh as a result of the procedure on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But the Gemara there does say, if a person is traveling with Dvar Mitzvah, for the purpose of a mitzvah, then it's allowed to go on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the Baal HaMor says over there on Shabbos, if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, you can leave Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and put yourself in that situation knowingly where you're going to have to be, or you might have to be Mechal Shabbos, Bekuach Nefesh. But one minute, the Baal HaMor said in Shabbos, if a person has a Bris Milah in front of him, he doesn't have water for after the Bris Milah, the Baal HaMor said he can't do the Bris Milah now, because afterwards, inevitably, you're going to have to heat up water for as an antiseptic. But why is it Dvar Mitzvah? There isn't a mitzvah. You know, well, Milah is one of the greatest mitzvahs that we have. So if Dvar Mitzvah, you can take a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even though you might have to be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos with Koach Nefesh, why can't you do the Bris Milah on Shabbos, even though I know afterwards I'm going to have to heat up water as an antiseptic? This is the kasha that's asked in the Baal HaMor. So many Achrayim explain, and that's what T. Pesach Frank suggests, is that there's a distinction between on Shabbos itself versus prior to Shabbos. Prior to Shabbos, if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, you can take a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even though you might have to be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos and be Koach Nefesh, because boat travel in those days was scary, it was dangerous. You never knew what could happen. Pirates and the boat could sink, whatever. You might have to be Mechal Shabbos. But that's before Shabbos. Once Shabbos comes, that's not an oinus anymore. You can't do it now on Shabbos. On Shabbos, to put yourself in a situation where you call Shabbos or Bikuach Nefesh, you can't call that an oinus anymore. You have to prepare. That's the line between preparing and oinus. Once Shabbos comes, you can't call it an oinus anymore if you put yourself in that situation. Prior to Shabbos, okay, I'm not obligated to avoid a situation of oinus on Shabbos. But if Shabbos is already here, so then, come on, you know, then you can't do it. So to over here, Ritzi Pesach Frank distinguishes, in the name of the Torah's Chesed, that, when is it considered to be Pesach, where you no longer contain an oinus, you know, that I'm not going to do B'dikas Chametz, I'm not prepared, it's 30 days prior to Pesach, it's already a Chalois Pesach. And now, the line has been drawn between preparation and oinus, it's now no longer considered to be an oinus, now you have an obligation to prepare and do what you can. Rav Salvechik had the same distinction in this Baal HaMor, and he applied it to an interesting case. In those days, in the 60s, the Reitz used to graduate Musmachim, who some of them would go serve in the army. They enlisted them in the army to serve as chaplains. So Dr. Belkin asked the Soloveitchik if we can send them to serve as chaplains in the army, knowing that if they're in the army, wherever they might be stationed, they might have to be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. But we're putting them in that situation knowingly that we're, they could serve as a rabbi somewhere else, right? And they won't have to be Mechal Shabbos Bikuach Nefesh. Can they enlist in the army and serve as a chaplain? So Salvechik wrote a letter back to Dr. Belkin, which was later published, where he asked this stira in the Baal HaMor that we just saw, and he gave the same answer, that prior to Shabbos, it's allowed. On Shabbos itself, it's more of a problem. You can't call that an oinus anymore. You can't call that something beyond my control. The Shabbos is, Shabbos is already here. We have to do that which we can. So he said, prior to Shabbos, we're sending them in the middle of the week, or without, and they're going to first go to basic training and all these other things. So it's prior to the event, so then that's considered to be an oinus when the event arrives. I don't have to go to great lengths to avoid an oinus. But once the mitzvah, the time for the mitzvah has already arrived, then everything obviously is different. So over here, too, once the time for Pesach has arrived, you know, you can no longer taina that it's an oinus. However, I think it's interesting, we're going to have to finish this tomorrow, and I think it's fascinating that where do we derive the halacha from of 30 days prior to Pesach? We derive it really from Pesach Sheni, which is an odd source to derive 30 days prior to Pesach from Pesach Sheni, which was really day 30 days after Pesach, prior to Pesach Sheni. It's interesting that the 30 days prior to Pesach turned into 30 days after Pesach, and I think that has a really important important message, not only about Pesach, but really about all mitzvahs and preparing for mitzvahs in general. So next time we'll get to that. We also have to discuss Lamaisa, what happens if a person leaves before Pesach, what does he do? Should he appoint a shliach? Can he not appoint a shliach? All the different halachas that go into that. All right, tomorrow, Mitzvah.
Thank you.